Praise God. Isn't it amazing the Lord would hang out with people like us? And just come and the grace and the mercy. Does that not reveal something about Him that we need to find hope and rest in today? Thank God for His presence. I'd like to turn to a number of familiar scriptures today. It's hard not to turn to familiar ones, but I'm trusting the Lord will bring something that is fresh from something that is familiar. I'm just going to share what thoughts I have. I don't know how long this will even take, but I'm going to start and we'll just see how it goes. But anyway, this is the account, of course, at the beginning of the Last Supper. Jesus is going to be crucified the following day, and he has this meeting with his disciples. It's revealed, at least between Jesus and Judas, who Judas was, and he leaves the scene. And then if you compare all the accounts, there's a lot of other things that Jesus said, but basically they wind up in a garden, don't they? And I think if I had to give a title to this, I was all over the map with it, but this would be probably Lessons from a Garden. Because there are some lessons that I have felt my need of in a very keen way. And I believe the Lord wants to help every one of us here because every one of us has needs. And I believe we can see in what happened to Peter, but in the whole scene that's painted there, we see how God's kingdom works. We see where we as human beings get the ability to do what we're called upon to do because it's not in us to do it. We've certainly said that many times, and how many keep finding that out? Yeah, that's just the nature of the whole deal. But anyway, they go out to the Mount of Olives, and that's where there's a garden. In verse 27, Jesus begins to tell them what's going to happen with respect to their own reaction to it. He says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." So he's relating this to Old Testament prophecy. "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Here's another example of how Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. It went right through their brains like they didn't even hear it. Boy, do we need God to reveal things to us, don't we? But anyway, so Peter, of course, is the one who always speaks up. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." So it's obvious from this scene that Peter was on board. He knew who Jesus was. He had a conviction. He had a zeal, a desire to do the right thing. And, of course, that should be enough, right? Well, we know that's not enough, is it? "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said likewise, said the same. So it wasn't just Peter. This was all the disciples. "Lord, we'll never do anything like that." Have you ever been all geared up to do the right thing? And you knew what it was. And somehow, when the time came to do the right thing, you just didn't have it in you. See, that's kind of the lesson of this thing. And I believe I see this in a deeper and a different light, with respect to my own experience. But I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know I'm not. Because I'm made of the same stuff that you are. And the fact is, we have been called to live something that, as we've said many times, is totally supernatural. And yet, we suppose that we can handle stuff. Now, yeah, maybe the big stuff, okay, Lord, I need help with this, but the ordinary stuff, I've got that. And how many find out regularly that you don't? Well, there's some secrets that I believe the Lord wants us to learn from this. So anyway, they went to a place called Gethsemane, which was a garden, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. That's a battle. And that was a real battle, wasn't it? Jesus was not play-acting here. He lived as a man. He needed help that could only come from his Father. Okay, and he knew that. He understood that. Okay? Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Now, these are all the ones who had assured him what they wouldn't do. We would never betray you. We would never disown you. Man, we're going to go to the grave with you if necessary. We've got this. So what are they doing? Sleeping. Okay? I don't suppose we ever do that, right? All right. So, but what does Jesus say? Simon, he addresses Simon in particular. He said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So you see what's going on there. You have a case where Peter knows what to do and wants to do it, but he doesn't have the power to do it, and he doesn't realize that. And so Jesus is about to allow him to experience something that is going to be very distressing to him, but is very critical. And I believe, with all my heart, that God is allowing things in our lives not to bring us down, but to lift us up into a realm where we learn how the kingdom of God works. Lessons from a garden. Jesus knew what was going to happen. We can talk about that later. But the key thing is here, Peter, I get it. You love me. You know who I am. You want to do the right thing. But that's not enough. You don't have the strength. And the thing that is needed here is that you need to be praying, you need to be calling on God, because the only source of strength comes from Him, and if you don't get that strength, when the hour comes, you're going to be in trouble, and you're not going to be able to stand up to the test. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right? So then we know what happens. Once more, He went away, Jesus, and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. You see the opportunity, an opportunity they had that's gone now? Well, I'll tell you what. We need to stay tuned. We have somebody who knows what's going on and what we need. And they didn't have a clue what was coming, and they weren't ready. Is what he's really letting us know here. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And so, you know, we know the story. There's several accounts of it and how they arrest him. They all run. Peter wants to sort of stay in the general region and find out what's going on. He can't go on into where things are really happening, but he can hang around in the courtyard. And a little girl, one of the maids, who was a servant of the household, comes and says, you were one of them. He said, I don't know, not me. And a little while later, depending on which account you're listening to, it was the same girl, but anyway, it was somebody else, somebody that said the same thing. Yeah, you were one of them. I saw you. No, not me. And it wasn't long before somebody else looks and says, yeah, you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. You're from Galilee. You're not from around here. I know you're one of them. And he starts calling out down curses. May I be cursed if I'm one of them. Boy, you want to trust in human strength? Good luck. We don't have it, folks. I don't care how religious you are and how zealous you are and how much you know. We do not have what it takes to serve God. We need something beyond ourselves. And Peter didn't realize. Pardon me, I'll get all my buttons together here. I would have heard about it after the service if I hadn't buttoned that button. That's okay. Praise God. Now I'm all together, more or less. But anyway, you see the lesson. You see how the lesson is unfolding. It takes more than zeal. It takes more than knowledge, doesn't it? Now, I want us to go to another scripture that is extremely familiar to us, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6. Because now he's talking about spiritual warfare and the reality of the fact that we live in a world that opposes, obviously, our opposition from outside ultimately comes from the kingdom of darkness. There is a government that we cannot see that rules over this planet and this world system. And it is absolutely and utterly devoted to destroying the knowledge of God and any influence that God would have in anyone's life. So that's what we're up against. But, of course, how many of you know we're up against more than that? We got a problem in here. We got stuff we got to overcome. We just don't have the strength to do. So he begins in verse 10, finally, be strong. Okay, how's that going to happen? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So at somewhere along the line, we're going to have to get access to power that comes from him. It's the only solution that we have. We don't realize we're not up against just information. We're not just up against ideas. We are up against real spiritual power and force. You don't see that? Do you see that in the world? You see the influence over minds and events and things that are unfolding? I'll tell you, we serve a God who is over all, but there is a devil and he has real power. Look at what he was able to do when Jesus was heading across the lake to that demon-possessed man. You think that storm just happened? I tell you, you got a devil that can create storms if he wants to. The Lord allows him. But I'll tell you, the storms that we need to be concerned about are the storms that come against us. When he comes against us with some kind of a circumstance or some kind of a weakness, whether it's a temptation, whether it's an outward thing, whatever it is, it's an attempt to hinder us and to defeat us. There's real warfare that comes about in our lives, and we know about it if you serve the Lord at any time at all. How many times have we quoted the scripture that Paul gave to Timothy? Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. We don't sleep our way into heaven. There's warfare that has to take place. There are real battles that you and I will face. And we need to see the results of that. We need to understand how to fight those battles and how to win. And I feel like we tend, when we read this, to focus on the armor. And praise God for the armor. We need it. We better have some good armor. But I believe there's more than that. But let's start with the armor. First of all, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you are able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, the schemes reminds us that he has plans, he has plots. He's like an enemy who's looking for a weakness and trying to come up with a scheme or a plan of attack, if you will. Think military. There's a plan of attack. How can I overcome this situation? Do you know there's devils that have got you in their sights all the time? We don't say that to make us afraid, but God wants us to live with an alertness and a realization that we live in enemy territory, as has been said many times. And God wants us to be able to stand and able to overcome, not through our own strength, but to learn how to tap into his so that we can. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Even when people are involved, we need to remember that. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, in light of this reality, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, not if, but when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. All right? So what's the armor itself is, stand firm then with the belt of truth. What is the devil's main way of oppressing us and working in the world? He's a liar. He's the liar and the father of it. And Jesus Christ himself is the embodiment of what is true. And if you and I are getting our belief system, our way of looking at ourselves and the world and life and what it's all about, if we're getting it from someplace other than God and his word as revealed in his son, then we're not able to stand. He's got lies that he's already planted in here, and he's going to pull on them. We need to have truth that is a conviction that it comes from the inside. It's not simply information that we somehow agree to mentally. This is truth that lives in the heart that's real. And we know what is true. Peter knew what is true, didn't he? That wasn't enough, but it's certainly a good start. All right? Belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness. The devil's main attack against anybody in this world is the fact that we are sinners. But I'll tell you, when we understand what the cross meant, what's been sung about this morning, that Jesus went there in our place and he took our sin upon himself that he may give us his righteousness. My ability to stand in this world and in the battles that come in this world does not come from any goodness that originates in me. I have none. Always my stand is going to be, Jesus Christ died in my place. I plead the precious blood of the Son of God. I will not listen to your lies. I know what I am in myself, but I don't stand in my own righteousness. I have access to God. He has given me his breastplate, and I stand here as righteous as Jesus is. That's incredible. But that's my standing before God. And I will stand in that. Praise the Lord. Okay? And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. A soldier better have good footing. Better know where he stands. I'll tell you, the boots aren't going to help you here. We need something else. We need the peace that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to know that we have peace with God. If I'm trying to fight the devil and I'm worried about my standing before God, I'm in a weak place. But if I can stand there and I'm confident, not because of who I am, I'm confident because he paid the price. And I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that I have a solid place to stand. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith. So now there's an action part. I'm not just standing there. I've got to do something. I've got to, when the devil's lies come at me, I've got something that I can exercise a confidence in the truth that I know. I can say, like Jesus, I don't have to listen to your lies. I know that's a lie because I know what the truth is. And I believe the truth. That's the defense that we have against the lies of the enemy. The shield of faith. It is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. There's so many aspects of truth that I guess you could emphasize out of that, but the one that kind of came back to me as I was thinking about this. Salvation is the essence of the gospel, isn't it? This is not a self-help program. This is not simply information so that I can live a better, more effective life in this world. The reality is I need saving. I need something that I cannot do for myself. It's about what I cannot do, what I must rely upon him to do. If my thinking ever departs from that, I'm not on very good ground, am I? I have got to understand with all of my heart, with all my mind, I need him. I need him every hour. There's things that I cannot possibly be what he wants me to be unless he saves me, unless he intervenes in my life and my heart. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. If you ever get out of that mindset, you are vulnerable. Praise God. Helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Now, again, we emphasize this so many times. What do we come back at? What's the offensive weapon that we come back with is the Word of God, just as Jesus did. We answer the lie with the truth, and we use it, and the devil has no answer for that. Well, praise God. That's enough, isn't it? Oh, wait. That's not enough. You know, in a way, Peter had all that, didn't he? You think about that. You kind of relate this to how spiritual battles work. Peter had the knowledge. He knew at least as much as he could know at that particular time. He knew who Jesus was. He knew his need of him. He had a fixed, zealous affection for Jesus. He was committed in everything that he had. He was committed. But it wasn't enough, was it? Think about a soldier. I've never been a soldier, and we have some that are here. But a lot of the training that a soldier gets involves learning about the equipment. Is that right? There is equipment that a soldier needs to be able to have in a battle, and some of it's defensive, some of it's offensive. It's a weapon that he can use. It's a way to protect himself. And a lot of it, I'm guessing that you probably sit in training sessions. Is that right? I don't see very much. Anyway, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm guessing that there's going to be some training. This is the piece of equipment you need. This is how it works. I want to inform you about this, and you need to know this stuff. And here's how this works, and here's your gun or whatever, and and all the training. But I'll tell you, all the training in the world, you don't just sit in training sessions and say, all right, go fight. One of the things that is necessary is you better have the strength to do it. You know, one of the images that we civilians have of soldiers is that they do a lot of exercise that sounds exhausting to the rest of us. But do you think that's possibly just might have some part to play in all this? Think about this. I may know all about the armor. I may have full confidence in God and what he's done for me and on all that stuff. That's awesome information. I know what to do. But the problem is, I don't have what it takes to do that. I'm not strong. I haven't exercised myself. I haven't maybe I haven't eaten the right diet. I mean, what good would it do to have a soldier that never exercises and never eats? You'd have a guy who's wasting away to nothing and knows all about how it's supposed to work, but when the time comes, he doesn't have what it takes. Suppose you're a soldier back in this day, and an enemy comes, and you know what to do, and you go to pick up the sword, and, oh, my God, this thing's heavy. And you don't really have the strength, or you get tired real quick, and you just can't. I'll tell you, we need strength that we do not have. Do you see how this connects with Peter? He knew what to do, but he didn't know how to do it. He didn't realize he didn't have what he needed. All right? So do you think that the next verse possibly is connected with this? You know, there's an and. It's not just, oh, yeah, by the way, this is an and, as though this is a continuation. This is necessary. It's wonderful to know all about the armor and to understand the principle of salvation and what it is we're supposed to do. But how do we do that, and can we do that successfully, is the key. And I feel like a lot of us are stuck in various areas of our lives because we don't understand this principle right here. We don't know when and how to fight battles. Think about it. So we have all these weapons, and in verse 18 begins with the word and. And what is that and? Pray in the Spirit. In other words, there's even the prayer itself. We've got to have energy that comes from heaven in order even to pray. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds. This is, you know, I find myself, I guess, falling into the trap. I bet a lot of people do. We think of prayer as, oh, my God, we got to get alone someplace for 2 hours and just, you know, our voices are wide open and we're just all running on some kind of energy. This is all kinds of prayers. There may be times when God energizes people for a season of prayer like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's right. But, I was thinking about a message we heard from Brother Ricky. I believe he has it exactly right. You remember when he talked about having that conversation? There is a way of walking with God and keep and living with a consciousness that he wants to walk with us and wants us to walk with him and wants us to get wisdom and help and be able to talk to him about everything that happens in our lives and gain wisdom back and knowledge back according to what we need. But how many of us, pretty much, we come to a service, oh, we need the Lord, we need the Lord, let's pray. And then we kind of go back into our ordinary routine and, oh, I can handle this. And we forget this part of it. Oh, I know all about the armor. I'm good. But this is all kinds of prayers and requests. So this covers life. This is the way that you and I, that God has ordained for you and me to get the means to use the armor. If we don't do this, the armor is just sitting there, and the devil's not afraid of armor. He'd prefer we didn't have it, but he's not afraid of just the armor. He's afraid of somebody who knows how to use it and has strength from heaven to use that armor. And so God is looking for us to be praying and calling upon him. I stumbled on something. I read it the other day. I can't even remember where I read it. But somebody was talking about prayer. Might have been just a booklet I had. I can't remember. And thinking about this praying all the time business and how we have this image of prayer as this, you know, particular thing. And he said the Lord began to teach him, even when he was listening to the news, which is real, you know, uplifting, isn't it? But listening to the news, and he'd hear some report of something that happened somewhere, and the Lord would actually encourage him to pray about that, to stop and just breathe up a word of prayer so that everything that was happening in his life was bathed in prayer. That gives you a different perspective on things. And I'm not just sitting here drinking in all this negative stuff and just, oh, God, it's terrible. But Lord, there's something that's happened to somebody. God, have mercy on them. God, touch their lives. You know, we can pray about everything. God wants us to be lifting our hearts to him with an expectation that he's listening and he cares and he wants us to come to him. You know, it's interesting. So you see where Peter fell down, don't you? Now, here's one of the things that I believe is a lesson from the garden. Let's turn to Luke 22 while I'm talking here. When do you fight the battle? Well, that's how in prayer is right, but when? You had a situation here where the battle was then, and here I am now. Do you get where I'm going here? Peter waited till all of a sudden he was in the middle of the battle and he didn't have any strength. He couldn't just rise up then and win the victory. The battle had to be fought before the actual battle. I believe with all my heart that if we'll walk with God, there are a lot of things that if we can learn to lift our hearts to God before we get in a situation, we'll find that the battle has already been won. You know, I'll go back to the account when Brother Thomas was and Sister Thomas were dealing so much with Judy Clevenger. And there was that one night where they were just so busy virtually all night, they were called away to another place. They had to leave Judy and go to deal with something else. And then early in the morning, they come back in the car, and that's when the Lord gave them the song, "The battle is the Lord's, and it's already won at the cross it was done." And they sang that, and they got to where Judy was, and she was free. God had gone ahead and fought the battle. But there are battles you and I face in our lives when God wants us to bathe them in prayer before we get in before the fur starts flying, if you want to put it that way, before the bullets start flying. He knows that something is coming. And I'll tell you, did not Jesus know about this? Think about the lesson of that. How do you suppose Jesus knew what was going to happen to Peter? Think about that one. This is a dimension that we need to wrap our brain around. There was a God who revealed to his son. You know, he didn't know anything on his own here. He was a man. He lived as a man. He said, I can't do anything on my own. I see what the Father's doing, and I do that. God doesn't give him general instructions and say, go build me a kingdom. The Lord was in him. The Father was in him to do all that. And so here was one of his servants, one of his friends, Peter. And the Lord, the Father told Jesus, he's going to be in trouble here. You need to warn him. But listen to what it says in Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. So this was a battle that was already, Satan actually asked permission to go ahead and do this. How many of you know that the Lord is in charge? Satan can't do anything that the Lord doesn't allow. But obviously the Lord gave him permission. God wanted to teach Peter and us some lessons from this garden. Lessons that I need. I need them. But listen to what he says. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Why is so much in that? Jesus didn't say, when the battle comes, don't worry, I'll be praying for you. I mean, that's good, that's right. But before the battle ever happened, Jesus had already prayed about it. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. There was this glorious, the divine arms of God were underneath Peter. Even though Peter was allowed to experience a failure that was very distressing. Anybody here ever been in that place? You meant to do one thing and you found yourself because of weakness doing something else and falling in the mud and you felt horrible about it. Peter did. But I want to tell you there's somebody who has already prayed. That's one dimension about it, is that we've got somebody who knows everything that's ever going to happen to us. And his prayer has gone before us in every circumstance. I could just see the Lord, I want you to learn something, but you ain't going to fall. I'm not going to throw you out with the garbage because you mess up. You've got to learn something because I'm going to put you in a position so that you can help other people. But you've got to learn something about yourself. You don't have what you think you have. You need me. And I want you to learn, but I have prayed your faith isn't going to fail. Don't worry. I'm not going to lose you. Praise God. Do we not have somebody who is able to save completely those who come to God by him? Why? Because he always prays for us. There's somebody in heaven that prays. But there's another dimension to this, because Paul is talking over in Ephesians 6 about praying one for another, doesn't he? Pray for all the saints. How many of you have had the experience? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you had the experience of the Lord just suddenly bringing someone to your mind? And you know there's a need, and you stop, and you just pray. I say, does that not reflect what we're hearing about here? God wants prayer to be the determining factors in the battles of life. We have the privilege not just of coming for ourselves, but coming for somebody else. That's the key to so many things, that God wants us to walk with him, have that conversation, and be in that place where we can hear that still small voice that says, somebody's in need, pray for them. They're in a battle. They need strength from heaven. I'll supply it, but you're going to have to be the conduit by which it gets there. Boy, do you see the body of Christ in operation? And how one part is in a weak place, another part has life, and that life is allowed to flow. That's what God is looking for. Folks, we need to be a praying people that have that conversation going with the Lord all the time. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Praise God. But the biggest lesson of all, and I see this in the big picture, I mean, I see this with respect to things like big events, but I see it in a different way, too, that we need to be praying before stuff happens. Was that not a lesson from the garden? Jesus didn't say something bad's coming, but don't worry, you can just pray and make it all go away. You can pull out a proof text and poof, the devil will just Go away. He had to pour out his heart. He needed to have poured out his heart and said, God, I'm getting ready to face the devil. I don't have what it takes. I may want to do the right thing, but I don't have the strength. But Lord, I need you. I need you, and I call upon you. Jesus just told me, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. God, I need you. Oh, that's a deep, deep lesson that we need to learn. And I'll tell you, we tend to think about that in the big things. I guarantee for most of you, probably all of you, if we suddenly said, you're going to speak to the people on such and such an occasion, I want you to stand up here and have a message ready. Some of you say, no way. But I'll tell you, if you said, yeah, okay, you'd be doing a lot of praying. You'd be realizing, hey, I'm in over my head here. I need the Lord. Oh, God, help me. It would be very real to you. But the thing is, we don't get that with the ordinary minutiae of life. And this is one of the things the Lord's kind of, the way the Lord has brought this down to me. It isn't just the big stuff. It isn't the big battle. It is the big battles. But if we learn to fight the small ones, I'll tell you, God's going to be real enough to us that he can get us ready. Jesus warned Peter ahead of time. Will he not warn us if something's coming? Does he not know how to prepare his soldiers for battle? Yeah. But how do we prepare? Okay, Lord, I got this. That's how we prepare. A lot more than we dare to realize. Lord, I got this. You know, I'd never do this. I'd never do that. How many of you have been down around that mountain time and time again? I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Oh, God, we've got to learn that we just don't have what it takes. This is not called self-help. It's called salvation. But God has made a way. Look what his son modeled for us. Do you think he was play-acting in the garden? He cried out with all of his heart, the weight of what was about to land upon him as a human being was so intense. In one of the accounts it says his sweat was like great drops of blood, the intensity of it. One of the things that was interesting to me, I don't remember which account, it might be this one, but it's one of them, that he was praying. It wasn't necessarily the last prayer, but it was one of the seasons of prayer, one of the hours. It says that an angel came and strengthened him. Does that remind you that we need strength to pray? It's not just the battle we're praying about, it's the strength to pray in the first place. But we've got a God who will give us everything. Didn't we just sing that? He'll give you everything. Well, if he doesn't, I don't have anything because nothing that I have is going to do the job. But we've got somebody who longs to share himself with his people in every kind of situation. You might be here today and you're facing a real issue and it's a big battle and you're worried about it and you're concerned. You have the power to fight that battle now. To go to God and just look to him and say, God, I need you. Go before me in this. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. Do you see where that stance that we need to take before God? We always come to him as people who need him and want him. There's nothing that pleases him more. He's not pleased by you trying to be strong. He's pleased by you coming in need. And looking to him and trusting him and saying, oh, God, I want to be like you. You know, I thought about that. We sing so many times, and I believe there's a lot of people that sing it sincerely. Oh, I want to be more like you, or to be like Jesus, or, you know, one of those songs that we sing. Oh, I want to be like you. How's that going to happen? And then we go through our day, and we get mad, and we get irritated, we get impatient, we fly off about this, and we get upset about that, and we're not much like him. Do you suppose maybe we need to treat the ordinary stuff of life the same way we would treat a major battle that just gets our attention? And start going to God and saying, God, I'm facing the day, and I don't know what all is going to come along. The devil's going to come along, and he's going to provoke somebody to provoke me. And the problem is not them. The problem is what you're trying to deal with in me. And you told me that you wanted to be more like me. Well, I'm trying to help. But you don't get how this works. I'm going to put you in situations where you have a battle on your hands, and the battle is with this nature in here. But I don't, all of your good intentions are not enough. You need me. But the time to fight the battle is not when the person is in your face and whatever's going on. The time to fight the battle is beforehand and say, Lord, I'm facing a day and I want to be like you, but it's not in me to be like you. I need you to give me strength that's fresh. I mean, we eat every day, don't we? Most of us. Too much. But why do we do that? I mean, that's just how it works. You've got to sustain this natural being, this body that we live in. But I'll tell you, we need the Lord. And I don't want to paint this as you've got to do this, you've got to spend so much time, you've got to do it this way or that way. We just need to reach out to the Lord and say, oh God, I need you. I'm facing battles in here and out there that I am not equipped for. Yes, you've given me some glorious armor. Thank you for the armor. But I need the strength to pick that sword up and use it. I need the confidence to stand. I need the energy that it requires to use the armor. And that comes from praying. And the battles are won before they come. That's something that we all need to get in our heads. God will prepare us for battles that are coming if we're listening. Many times, it's just like Jesus who warned Peter that something was coming. Told him how to handle it. He didn't believe him, and he didn't handle it. Anybody here relate to that? Yeah. But I'll tell you, we have somebody. We have a place we can go. Let's go back to one of the most, I just refer to it, a scripture we've used so many times, that we've got a throne of grace, folks. We can go right past the devil to the one who overcame him. We can come there because we have been declared righteous. All the barrier for us being able to walk into that throne and call him Father. And what has he promised? Mercy, which is certainly a reference to the fact that I don't deserve it, but he's willing to give it to me because that's the kind of a God he is. But it's the grace that I need. It's the very help that I need to be what he wants me to be, to fight the battles that need to be fought. All of them come because I'm willing to go to a throne of grace and say, oh God, I can't handle life. I can't live the Christian life. I can't fight the battles that rise in my face. I need your grace. I need strength. Oh God, I look to you. Do you think Jesus just hung around out in the desert for 40 days, studying wildlife and throwing rocks around and playing? Or do you think maybe he was doing some praying? You think he just, the devil come around and all he had to do was say, oh, pull out a proof text. He was in a weakened place, but I'll guarantee he prayed. You know, let's look at another scripture we've looked at so many times. And just put this in the context. Hebrews 5. How many times have we looked at this? But this is relevant right now. This is our Savior. Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Now, on the face of it, that sounds crazy because he died. But I see him being saved from death in two ways. Obviously, he was raised from the dead, so he conquered it in that sense. But I'll tell you, the death that would have been catastrophic would have been if he had yielded to sin. Because death is the consequence of that. But the Lord gave him the strength. But how did he get the strength? Here's the Son of God crying out, saying, oh God, give me power. This flesh that I live in is so powerful. The devil is so powerful. I don't have the strength, but you do. And I've got to have it. I've got to have strength from you, Lord. And God heard him. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Folks, I need this. The Lord makes me conscious of things in me. I see needs. I see areas where, yes, He helps me. He gives me a victory in this. But then I see other areas of my life where, you know, just feelings and attitudes and things that I don't quite get on top of as quick as I should, that I wrestle with. There's all kinds of battles that nobody knows about. And everybody here is in the same boat. And God wants us to realize there is victory in Him. We don't just have to sit there and be defeated. But we're going to have to learn the lessons from the garden. And learn to go to God. I don't care how much you know, how much you believe this book, how much you know who Jesus is and believe it. That's great. But in order to have the strength to move in that and to benefit from that and to lay hold of eternal life, we're going to have to go to our God. And we're going to have to go to Him with a sense that of our need. Don't you ever feel like you got to the place where you know enough that you can just handle a little stuff. I can just kind of muddle along. You can't. Neither can I. Neither could Jesus. He went out every single day and prayed early in the morning. That was a pattern. Different ways He did it, I guess. But He went out and He prayed before the ministry happened. He didn't just say, oh God, I'm in the middle of ministry. Help me here. Help me here. Oh, help me with this one. Maybe He was doing some of that and lifting His harp. And I'll tell you, the battle was won before He got in the battle. And God wants us to fight battles before we get in them, because we're going to start experiencing more victory than we have experienced. That's the lesson that I see from that garden. And I pray that God will help us to learn how to fight. But not just how to fight, when to fight. If we will listen, God will prepare us for things and we won't be so blindsided. How many of you have ever been blindsided? You've just been going along, all of a sudden, wham, the devil comes up with something and you're just kind of overwhelmed. God knows how to prepare His children. And I'll tell you, even when we are in that weak place, God can lay that on somebody else's heart to prepare, to pray, and to minister literal spiritual strength to you. It's not just some warm, fuzzy thing that we, sentiment that we throw off into space. There is actual life that can flow through you to somebody else and make a difference to them. Divine strength can enter the battle. That's what we need. Anybody here need the Lord? Oh, my God. Let's learn when to fight and how to fight. And start learning how to fight our battles before we get in the battle. That's what Peter didn't realize. God gave him a perfect opportunity to say, oh, God, I'm not ready for what Jesus said is coming. Help me. Instead, he went to sleep, and he fell down. Aren't you glad that Jesus picked him up and loved him yet still? But wouldn't it be better to learn the lesson? And we'd be a whole lot more used to the kingdom of God. So if you're one who falls and you've struggled with these things, don't be discouraged by that. Learn. God loves you. Jesus hasn't thrown you out, but He does want us to learn and to grow and to learn how to beat the things that just are part of us. How many times do we just give ourselves excuses? Well, that's just the way I am. It's my personality. It's their fault. It's 1,001 things, except God's trying to show me a need in here that He can help me with, so I don't have to go through life mad at everybody, upset at the little things, just, you know, all the things that come out of this nature. God can give us victory if we will learn how to fight in prayer. And He has given us everything we need. We just need to believe it and take it. Praise God. To God be the glory.